Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And we're going to jump right into something here in just a minute. But Father, we ask you to give wisdom today, give anointing today to your brethren, to our brethren out there, Lord, who want to know about casting out demons. Some people have never tried it. Some have, and maybe missed some of the finer points of how to do this and whether they should do this. And so, Father, we just ask in Jesus' name, give wisdom today. Thank you, Father. Give wisdom, give anointing. Thank you so much. All right, saints. We're going to call this, They Shall Cast Out Demons. And the first thing you need to know about casting out demons is you got to have a good foundation, right? Mark 3:23 says, And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And Matthew 12:26 says, And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? Now, what point am I making here? Well, if you're full of the devil, it's very hard to cast the devil out. That's what the point I'm making here. The cleaner you are, the better it is. Now, I'm not saying this is a hard thing. I'm not saying this to make it hard, because everybody knows their faults. But you know, we've all applied our faults to the cross. We don't reckon ourselves to be alive unto sin, but dead unto sin and alive unto God. And believe that we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that image from glory to glory. So it's not your faults and your failures that'll bother you. It might be willful disobedience. It can bother you. But if you're full of the devil, you got demons in you, it's a lot harder because you've got an enemy in your camp, and he is fighting against you. So first, get the board out of your eyes so you can see clearly to get the mote out of your brother's eye, right? That's what Jesus said. And James 4:7 says, Be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice the first condition. Be subject, therefore, unto God. Again, I want to say you may think you're failing God a lot, but it's not your failures that count. They can be under the blood as long as you don't want them. And but be subject, therefore, unto God is one of the best foundations. I'm calling these the best foundation for casting out demons. Baby Christians cast out demons, and they don't know much, and they haven't necessarily been delivered of a whole lot, you know, but they cast out demons. I did. And as soon as I found out, I was just reading the Bible, you know. Opportunities arose, and I started casting out demons. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. And the disciples did the same thing, didn't they? Yeah. 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light, that is the light of God's word, and as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, some people don't have fellowship with one another. They're full of criticism, judgment, unforgiveness, all these things. So you're not going to be delivered of your sins in that way. Matter of fact, God will put more sin on you so that you can see that you're not worthy to judge anybody else. So it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, there are some demons that are pride or faction, or they're never going to confess sin. So you have to come against those. Humble yourself. Confess your sins so that you can be cleansed from all unrighteousness. The person who is best able to cast out demons is a person who is cleansed from all unrighteousness. So James 5 and 16 says, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. So this is a humbling thing to confess your sins one to another. But if you confess your sins one to another, notice you can pray one for another that you may be healed. And I can add there too, delivered, you know. So there's a word used commonly in the scripture, sozo, and it's healed and delivered and provided for and all these things, you know. So it all comes under the heading of salvation. Sozo, saved. So cleanliness is the most important thing. The devil can't do anything with it. You know, he's afraid of a clean, sanctified Christian. And again, it's not the sins that you don't know. The Lord will reveal those to you in time. It's the sins that you do know that would be giving you the problem. And especially if you're walking in willful disobedience, Hebrews 10:26, right? So, now, is this important enough to you to have your family delivered? To be able to deliver your friend who may never step foot in a church? To deliver yourself? We'll talk about these things. It should be very important. A third of Jesus' ministry was casting out demons. Now, for some reason, people think that all passed away. I'm sorry for these people, because they don't believe the last four verses of the book. Don't add to his book. He'll add to you the curses that are written in this book. Don't take away from this book, or he'll take away from you your part in the tree of life. So repent and believe what the Bible says. Jesus is our example. We look at Jesus, we see what he does. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. So therefore, if you want to do the works of Jesus and be a real Christian is the kind that followed Jesus in the beginning, right? If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, then you abide in the Son. So it doesn't matter what modern Christianity says or does. It really doesn't, and you should pay no attention to them whatsoever. Find out what Jesus said and what he did and walk in his steps. Yeah. So, Revelation 3 and 5 says, he that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments. Now, this is what we need, white garments. White garments, of course, are cleanliness. It's delivered from evil. It is the righteous acts of the saints. And it says, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Okay, so here we go. He that overcometh shall be arrayed in white garments, the righteous acts of the saints. So if we have these white garments, the devil trembles. If we're all bound up in sin, he's not really impressed too much about that. So we must turn away from sin and unrighteousness and be a vessel of honor to the best of our knowledge. Again, it doesn't have anything to do with what you don't know. It has to do with what you do know. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's one of the neat things about the New Testament. A lot of things you're ignorant of. And God totally overlooks it, you know. So, arrayed in white garments, and you do not what? Get blotted out of the book of life. Those who overcome and put on white garments are not blotted out of the book of life. Are some blotted out? Well, of course. Just look at the text. You can tell very clearly that they're blotted out. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. People that believe that love sin, and they love that covering so that they can sin. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Or know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I don't know how you could get any plainer. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When Jesus cast out demons, you know what he said? The kingdom of God has come upon you. He was walking in the kingdom of God. Unrighteous people don't walk in the kingdom of God. How can they administer the gifts of the kingdom of God if they're not walking in the kingdom of God? And that's not who the gifts are for. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So, what is it that we need to know about these people? Well, 1 Corinthians 5 tells you, first of all, to put forth these people out of the church. And, of course, the church likes their tithes more than they like obedience. So they've got a corrupt church there that can't cast out demons because the devil's in the midst of them. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals." Listen, this is the word of God. It cannot be broken. You hang out with a bunch of people like this, you'll be just like them. Their demons will enter into you. Did you know that demons, by association, get the right to enter into other people? That's right. Notice, be not deceived. If evil companionships corrupt good morals. I remember a man who I cast demons out of before. I'm just thinking of an example here. He had a demon of lust constantly, and we cast it out, and it would come back because he basically didn't have enough interest to keep it out. Well, his son got demons, the same ones. He was very mad at his son for manifesting the lusts of the flesh, for manifesting lust. But that was his problem. He was very mad at his son, but he was the one that brought it into the house. And you know what? If you bring it home, don't think that somebody won't catch it. You know, these things by association, just like it says here, evil companionships corrupt good morals. By association with people like that, you get that. That's what happens. Have you ever been around somebody that had demons on them and you felt the temptation around them? And you realized what it was, you rebuked it, you never received it, but you rebuked it. Well, a lot of people do that. And you can go among groups that are given into certain nasty sins, and guess what will happen to you? They'll jump on you. I was speaking recently about the faction movement, how that so many of them are turned over to lust and bisexuality. Why? Because they like to group together. And when they come together, it jumps off of one to the other. Because you're not supposed to do that. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. Every time. It's the law. It's the word of God. It's going to happen. So, if you're going to get the demons cast out of you or cast them out of someone else, just remember that. You're going to go back to the same old crowd. You'll get the same old demons. Okay. Acts 1 and 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." This means you're going to be a witness of Jesus. That means when people look at you, they're going to see Jesus walking in you, the same Jesus that is spoken about in the Gospels. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have power over demons. Not that you can't cast them out before you receive the Holy Spirit, which most often comes with speaking in tongues. Not always, but most often. It's the most common manifestation of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit thinks you need this more than any other gift. Not because it's the least gift. That's crazy. He gives this the most commonly and right off the bat because it's the most important to be able to pray in the Spirit. so that you get from God what you need, even if you don't know you need it. Powerful gift here. See? Well, it's best to have the Holy Spirit. I remember a man who came to me and said that he wanted to go over to this mission and cast out some demons. I told him, you know, I said, you know, you need to make sure that you're clean and also that you're filled with the Holy Spirit before you do this. Well, he didn't pay a bit of attention to me, and he went over there, and a demon manifested in a man, and his visage even changed, you know, and the man jumped up and chased this guy who was a deacon in the church out the front door of the mission. I should say not out the front door of the mission, through the front door of the mission. That's right. He went right through the glass door, was shoved through it by this demon. And he was laying out there in the street, and a baby Christian walked by, and he was saying, "Get these demons off of me. Get these demons off of me." And the baby Christian said, "Yeah, come out of him in the name of Jesus." and they did, but he was cut up and messed up, and he went to the hospital. So then the preacher asked me to go over there, and basically he did the same thing to us. He stood up like a big old bear. He was going to try to eat our lunch, you know, or eat us for lunch. And I told him to sit, and he just sat, and we cast the demons out of him, you know. But I was clean, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and these are good things. So reading on, it says, "And you shall be my witnesses." In other words, you're a witness of Jesus and what he does, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And Jesus also said, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe." This is the condition. Believe. "Shall accompany them that believe." Shall accompany them that believe. So if you go into a so-called church and they don't believe in casting out demons, guess what? They're not believers. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive." Right? So, "In my name they shall cast out demons." These signs shall come to them that believe. "In my name they will cast out demons." Now, I know that a lot of people think that this means just the name of Jesus, and I say the name of Jesus all the time. I love it, you know. But it means nature, character, and authority. That means you're coming to this person in the nature of Jesus, the character of Jesus, and the authority of Jesus. That's more important than the word name, because that's what name means in the New Testament, okay? So, "In my name they shall cast out demons." If you are a believer, according to the scriptures, in his name you will cast out demons. "They will speak with new tongues. These signs will accompany them that believe. They will speak with new tongues." Why? Because you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak with new tongues. Because the Holy Spirit wants to do the talking sometimes. And he knows what to say, and he's got plenty of faith. 18, "They shall take up serpents." Oh, okay, just remember that. We'll talk about that in a minute. "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." All these are signs that Jesus said believers would have. You see, we have departed from Christianity. The overwhelming majority of what's called Christianity out there isn't. So, okay, remember that serpent thing. We'll come back to that. John 14 and 13. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So everything that you ask in that name, in that nature, character, and authority of Jesus. In other words, you study the Master to see how he does it and why he does it and when he does it. And that's how you get yourself in the name. Not just speaking the name. It can't be by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Because then what happened? The demons jumped on him and tore him up, right? Somebody you don't know, right? So anyway, Colossians 3 and 17 says, And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you're doing it because you can just see Jesus doing it. This is the way Jesus does it. This is what Jesus would do. You see, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Some good foundation here for casting out demons, right? Matthew 18 and 19. Now, it's not just important that the person who casts out demons believes in God. Sometimes it's important that you agree with them, meaning, of course, you have confessed your sins, you've repented of your sins, and you're agreeing with what's right, and you do believe that the Lord casts out demons. So you are in line to be ministered to by the one who believes and has power to cast out demons. You should be in agreement with them. Not always is this possible. Sometimes people are too far gone. They're too far demon-possessed to make a decent decision. And yet, if God chooses to do so, he can cast their demons out so that they can then make a decent decision. Like Legion, you know. He couldn't think about anything, you know, until the demons came out. Then he made decision. And that's why Jesus also said the demons will come back. He talked about this generation, the one he was casting demons out of, that they would come back seven times worse. You see? So, Matthew 18 and 19, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. So, at least in one case, this is talking about the one who ministers and the one who is being ministered to. You see, when Jesus ministered to people, he said, be it unto you according as you have believed. You know, in other words, he wanted them to believe in him when he prayed. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you, as you have believed. So Jesus had faith to cast out demons, but they needed faith too. In many cases, if they're a person who can make a decision, they should make that decision and repent and confess, right? Amen. Mark 11, 22-25 says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Now let me say this. Did you ever see Jesus sitting there wrestling with demons for hours and hours? No, he did not, because he knew he had authority and he knew he could speak it and walk away, and it was done. And if you don't believe that, those demons will keep you tangled up for hours. You just speak it, you believe it has to happen, and you can walk away, you know. Whatever the Lord gives you discernment of all the demons, or you can do it all at once, or it may even be Legion. I've cast out Legion before. I was casting out Legion one time. I asked, what is your name? It said Legion. The demon said Legion. I said, I don't know about this, you know. So I put my Bible open, flipped my Bible open, and stuck my finger down right in the middle of the story of Legion. So I took it seriously. You know, you don't need to be any more than me to cast out Legion. I can tell you that. He's got to obey because Jesus gave us authority. He shall have it. You speak it and you believe that what you say has authority and power. And he says you will have it. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them. And it's literally received, past tense, them. So when you speak it or when you pray it or whatever, you believe it's done. And then you don't have to stand there for hours. I remember recently sharing the testimony of a little girl in our assembly here who had a demon, And we went over there to cast the demon out, and it was one of those come up in the neck thing. Mom could see it coming up in the neck. Oh, it's going, it's going. And then it would go back down. Oh, and it would come up and it'd go back down. Finally, I said, wait a minute. I don't believe in casting out demons this way. Come out in the name of Jesus. And we got up and walked out. We didn't take, 10 steps out of the door until Mom said, it came out. You know, that's it. You have to know that you are here as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And when you speak it, they have to obey. So you just speak it. Now, you can't do anything about them going back to their old ways. They can do that because once a person is free, they can go forward and they can go backwards, right? The lost world isn't free. They are in bondage. We'll talk about them, too, in a minute. So believe you've received. That's what he says. You shall have them. There it is again. You can speak it. You can believe you have received, and you can walk away. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive. Now, this is very important because if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven, and you don't have any of the benefits of the kingdom because you're not forgiven. I'm sorry. And that's why a lot of people get more and more demon-possessed, and that's why they hang out with demon-possessed people, too. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. You see, if your trespasses aren't forgiven, you don't have nothing. You don't have salvation. Forgiveness is the very foundation of salvation. And Matthew 6 and 15, Jesus said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He won't forgive you, meaning you don't have any benefits of the kingdom. You don't have any wisdom. You don't have any power from God. It all starts going down the drain the minute you start not forgiving, and the curse starts taking over. Amen. Luke 10 and 19, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. There's those serpents, and I'll explain that in a minute. And over all the power of the enemy. So notice, this is the serpent is the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. There it is. Tread upon the serpents and the scorpions. These are kinds of demons. Okay? Classes of demons. And he calls them spirits. These are demons. Are subject unto you. But rejoice not that your names are written in heaven. Excuse me. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding and didst reveal them unto babes. What? What things? What he just got through saying? That you've got power over the enemy. That you've got authority to cast out demons. He reveals this unto babes. I was a babe when I started casting out demons. And you should be too. You should do it when you first come into the kingdom. This is one of your rights. It's one of the rights that we have over the wickedness of this world, right? He delivered us out of the power of darkness, so we can take care of that. Yea, Father, so it was well-pleasing in thy sight. Amen. Colossians 1, 12 and 13 says, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance. Who is able to partake of this inheritance? Who can do this and who can receive this? One who is made able. Right? Who made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of things. Is the world able? No, they're not able. They are not able. The believers are able. Who delivered us out of the power of darkness, it's already done. Only thing to stop it is willful disobedience. Because you don't have a sacrifice. We have a sacrifice. We are able to partake of the benefits of the kingdom, including healing and casting out demons and on and on and on. They can't do that. And translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. not walking in the world, but in the kingdom, you see, of the Son of His love. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. They have no authority over us. Do you believe it? It's important that you believe it, because all of the benefits come through belief, right? Matthew 10:5-8. These 12 Jesus sent forth and charged them, go not into any way of the Gentiles. Why was that? Because they didn't have a covenant. They had no inheritance. And enter not into any city of the Samaritans. Okay, that's people who have the name of Israel, but were not Israelites. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wait a minute. Jesus sent them to cast out demons. And he sent them only to the house of Israel. Now, you might have an objection, but just hold on a minute. We'll get there. Okay. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There it is. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So don't charge them nothing. Right? Cast out the demons. Who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why? They had the covenant. Who are now Israelites? We are. We're Abraham's seed according to faith. We now have this benefit. We can cast the demons out of Christians. Some people say, oh no, you can't. Christians can't have demons. Oh, you haven't read the Bible. That's who they were casting them out of. That's who Jesus was casting them out of. The kingdom people. That's who he was casting them out of. You can do damage just casting demons out of a lost person unless the Lord leads you to do it so that they can be free enough to make a decision for Christ or whatever, you know. Okay. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. So, Mark 7:26-30 says, now the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by race. Oh, she wasn't an Israelite. And she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. And he said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Did he mean that? Yes, he did. He did mean that, because they don't have the benefit of the kingdom without faith. Oh, but look, 28. But she answered and saith unto him, yea, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way. The demon is gone out of thy daughter. And she went away unto her house and found the child laid upon the bed, and the demon was gone out. Well, she proved herself more of a believer than a whole lot of the Israelites did. She was a believer. And here Jesus was, of course, coming to bring a new covenant through faith. She was a believer. That's all you have to have. Somebody that believes. They can have the benefit and keep it if they believe. She came to him. She believed he was Lord. Praise God. But as a Greek, as a Syrophoenician, that didn't give her the right. It was only her faith that brought her into the right and the benefit. Okay, so the lost people don't have the benefit of the demons delivered, you know. We have that benefit, we who believe. Anybody, of course, out there that's like the Syrophoenician woman, if they believe, you can give it to them. And this might spark them on to get in that Bible and find out all the benefits of the kingdom, right? Amen. Luke 13:11. And behold, a woman that had a spirit of infirmity, that is a demon, 18 years. And she was, you say, oh, well, Christians can't have demons. Well, look carefully now. Behold, a woman that had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. What a curse, man. Down in verse 16, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, How do we become sons and daughters of Abraham? Through faith. That's what Paul said in Romans. Ought not this woman being a daughter, he was saying that she meets the condition to receive deliverance. A daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, to have been loosed from this bond on the day of the Sabbath. And he, of course, delivered her. So you see, a lot of stuff you hear about in churches is a bunch of baloney. I don't know of anybody that has cast very many demons out that doesn't believe that Christians can have demons. Now, they might have a terminology twist there, like it's on the outside, not the inside, but they're still casting them out. I don't know of anybody who believes that false doctrine that's having a lot of success casting demons out. Yeah. Luke 11, 19 through 23. And if by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Well, who was casting them out? Their sons. Who was that? People that had the Old Testament covenant. They had a right to do this. Okay. Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. See, when you cast the demons out, that's the kingdom of God taken over. He has plundered the devil's kingdom. He has plundered the strong man. And he goes on to say, verse 21, when the strong man, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he, that's Jesus, shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Jesus did this by the sacrifice on the cross. He took away his authority over God's children. He took away all of his armor. You have to believe that, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Remember, we read that part too. You have to believe that. That young Christian that got slammed through the front door of, I mean, that was a thick 3/4-inch plate glass door, for goodness sake. How can that happen? You know? These things are not made to break. You know? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. You see that? If you're not chasing demons, you're going to be scattered by them. If you're not exercising your authority over them, they're going to be whooping you because you're in a warfare and you don't even know it, right? Ephesians 6, 11 through 17. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes, and all of the armor of God has to do with faith in the Bible. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. Some people just do that. I mean, there's psychiatrists, there's people that'll drug you up, they'll do all these things, and you won't be able to know up from down, and you won't be able to make a decision for God either. That's what pharmakia does. Okay? That's not God's way. You didn't see Jesus ever do that, nor any of his disciples do that. They use the word of faith to cast out demons, and they don't cast demons out of everybody, as we can see. Because some people need demons. They need the chastening to bring them to God. But we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, not with our intelligence. You know, it's this wrestling that we do by faith, right? And not warring and not arguing and all these things people do. Or trying to talk somebody into something that's demon possessed. What? Well, you can't talk a demon into doing nothing, you know. You can command them to do something. But against the principalities, against the powers, and against the world rulers of this darkness. This is who we're fighting with. This is the one we should be fighting with here. Against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Fight with them. You got a problem in the government? Fight with them. You got a problem in the church? Fight with them. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. What is the truth? The Word of God. See, I'm telling you, this all comes back to faith in the Word. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, which comes by what? Faith in the Word. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which is what? In the Word. Taking up the shield of faith, which what faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word, right? Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. All the fiery darts of the evil one. So you get filled up with the Word if you want to go chasing devils. I mean, it gives you wisdom of what not to do. And where you don't have any power or authority to do, it gives you that kind of wisdom. And then it gives you the faith to go forth and cast out demons when it is appropriate. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There it is. All of that's the Word of God. It's the Word of God is given to us to cause us to walk as Jesus walked. That's why we devour the Word of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the Word of God. I went to one of the churches that I cast out the most demons in. They hadn't been baptized. They didn't have any faith. I walked through the door, and a woman up front I'd never seen in my life stood up and turned around, pointed her finger at me at the back door, and she said, "I see the Word of God in that man like I've never seen it before." And the preacher started calling me Solomon. But he had a church full of demon-possessed people. And that's all we did there. We cast out demons. We baptized them too. Cast out demons. Cast out demons. Cast out demons. It was a mission church. Had a bunch of missionaries. And they didn't have sense enough to know you're not supposed to bring these people into the church. In this case, God had mercy. We cast out demons the whole time. Even the preacher, he was full of demons too. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, not the way the world does it, for goodness sake. Jesus showed us how to do it. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to casting down strongholds. Amen. The weapons of our warfare, where do we get them? We just spoke that. You get them from the Word of God. Your authority in the Word of God. Yeah. Casting down imaginations, because the devil fires imaginations in there. He wants to turn you around and head you in an opposite direction. And if you listen to everything he says and you don't know what the Bible says, you'll run from him. You'll be scattered, like Jesus said. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity. This is important, because the devil's very smart. He's evil, but he's very smart. And you need to know, not be ignorant of his devices. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is important if you're going to cast out demons, right? Obey the Lord so they don't have advantage over you and they can't jump on you, right? And being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. So don't go out there judging everybody and doing everything if you're not clean. That's what he's saying. You know, get cleaned up in Jesus. And then the devil will be afraid. Mark 16 and 17. And these signs shall accompany them that believe in my name. They cast out demons. In my name shall they cast out demons. Okay. Do you believe? Well, go forth and do. You can't bring them all to the preacher. He don't have time to handle that many. But you can do it, and you need to start somewhere. And it would be good if you studied a little bit and found out more about this. But I want to tell you, you can start into it being just totally ignorant, and God can still use you. You just got to be devoted for his use. You know, you want to be used of the Lord. You want to help this person. You have pity for this person, or even yourself. Even yourself. Some people say, can you cast demons out of yourself? Of course you can. All things whatsoever. And I might add that if your mind is too boggled down and unbelieving and so on and so forth, you can get some people that do believe around you and agree with them. But you can cast them out. Some people try that. They fail. They try. They fail. They try. They fail. And they don't go to anybody else because they're too proud. No, if you're missing it, it's not God that's missing it. If you don't do it, you're missing it. It's you somewhere. And some a more mature person might be able to help you there. Go to people that do that. So he says, having therefore these promises, can we cast them out of ourselves? Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You got the promises, you know that you're beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You're transformed into that same image by faith. You know that the Lord gave you his salvation. He gave you his deliverance at the cross. It is your gift from God. You know it. Well, then do it. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You can do this. Every believer can do this. Do you believe what the Bible says about what we're talking about today? If you believe this, you can do it. And sometimes you better take that chance and that opportunity to do it, because you may never see that person again. And these demons will cloud your mind so that you get in a position where you end up in an institution doped up for the rest of your life. No, that's not the best thing to happen to a person, let me tell you. There's nothing the devil loves more than to have you so doped up you don't know God or have a decision for God or can you seek God or anything. You know, no, that's his trap. It's pharmakia. It's called witchcraft. In the Bible, it's translated from the word pharmakia in the New Testament, which is where we get our word pharmacy. They drug you up and make you manageable. That's not what God did. He makes you manageable by casting the demons out, right? I know that God turns people over to demons until a time of repentance comes. Sometimes they go through misery for quite a while before it's time to deliver them. And we should always ask God for discernment. You know, he can show us the demons by discerning of spirits or word of knowledge. He can show them to us. Or let me say this, you don't have to know the name of the demon to cast out demons. You know what the demon does, don't you? You know what lust is in a person. Hey, cast the demon out, right? You know what anger is. Cast the demon out, right? You just go by what you see. I'm not saying that this is the absolute best way. I'm just saying it works. Cast the demon out. Go by what he's doing in the person. Go by the fruit in that person, right? And if it's something this person wants to but has not been able to overcome, a lot of times it could be a demon. And you're not going to offend God if you take a shot at a demon and it's only his old flesh. I mean, it's not going to offend God. I didn't have all the knowledge when I first started in it, but I was casting demons out, you know. And you can do it too. Sometimes it'd be very helpful. Just always desire to be used of God, right? Desire that the Lord will teach you and raise you up, give you wisdom. Just desire that. So, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice, there is only one name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. None of those are names, do you know? Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Spirit's not a name. If you're talking in the letter, right, it's not a name. What is the name? It's the nature, character, and authority of God. That's what it is. That's what the word means. So you baptize them. Yes, you can say the name of Jesus. It's not necessarily what you say over them. You can say the name of Jesus over them because that's how they did it. Because Jesus came to reveal the nature, character, and authority of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And notice, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So some people say that passed away with the disciples. Oh, no. Oh, no, it didn't. Look carefully. They're to make disciples and teach those disciples to observe everything that Jesus told the first disciples. Then they were, as they matured, go out and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything the Lord told the first disciples. Notice that. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or age. Now, those disciples aren't here. They've been gone for a long time. Who is he talking to here? These are the people that are supposed to have had this passed all the way down to them from the first disciples, from disciple to disciple to disciple. This is people in our age who are supposed to be receiving the teaching that Jesus gave to the first disciples. Look at it. See carefully. So when he told them to cast out demons, and if they believed they would cast out demons, he said that to you and to me. So it's been passed on down to us. Now, I can't help it that religion got in there. It always does, and destroyed the knowledge of God. And of course, what would the devil rather have you not understand or believe? That you can't cast out demons. He certainly wants you to believe that. That you can't cast out demons. But the Lord is saying he gave them authority. He sent them to go and cast out demons. He gave them authority over all the power of the enemy. Authority is the right to use power. So he gave them authority over the power of the enemy, of the demons and whatever. They had authority to use their power or authority over their power. And since that was passed on down to you, you have the authority over their power. And even to use their power, because the Apostle Paul turned people over to the devil for the destruction of their flesh, that their spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. So now you see what the devil's use is in the kingdom. Is he chastens people until they cry uncle and run under the covering of the Lord. So he has authority to do these things. The devil's been given authority to do these things by God Almighty. But he also sent Jesus to deliver those that believe. You see, God's in control of it all. It is so awesome. Now, friend, you know, maybe we'll talk some more about this, and maybe we'll cast out some demons together. You know, I'm not saying I know what we're going to share on Sunday. I don't know. But, Lord willing, we may cast out some demons. It's very simple. You have authority. You know it, and you can do it. You can speak it. You can cast them out. You can do it. You will enjoy doing it. You will learn from doing it, and you'll be able to do it better the next time. And the next time, and the next time. So do it. Just do it. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for this day. And we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for giving people the understanding that they, yes, have this authority to cast out demons. And yes, as a believer, it's their job to do. It's what you sent them to do, clearly. So thank you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. And thank you for giving all the brethren out there understanding and boldness and anointing to go forth and do this in Jesus' name. All right, amen. God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us today. We'll do this again sometime. Good night.